Ever since I was a little guy, I've always asked lots of questions. I've always been very asking questions, question, question, question. In fact, when I was young, I think my family used to think that I was really nosy. They said, "You're just so nosy." I said, "No, I'm just inquisitive." That's what I want to call it. I can remember being with my dad at the grocery store, and he was talking to someone, and then we left, and I said, "Well, who was that?" Then he told me, "Well, what do they do?" Then he told me, "Well, where do they live?" Then he told me, then he said, "Are you writing a book?" I can also remember driving down the road once with him, and we passed another car, and the person waved at him, and he waved back, and I said, "Well, who was that?" He said, "I don't know. They just waved at me." I suppose it's not a bad thing to ask questions. And in today's gospel, if you were counting, there's two questions that were asked. One by Jesus to the disciples, one by the disciples to Jesus. Jesus asks the disciples, and in turn, I think he asks us, "What are you looking for?" The disciples then respond and ask Jesus a question, say, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And throughout this week, as I've been praying about this gospel, that one question which Jesus asks his disciples, I feel like he's been asking me. And now I offer it to you. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? What are we looking for? In order to look at that question a little bit more, I want to tell a brief story that comes from a man by the name of Curtis Martin. Many of you have probably never heard of him. I don't know him personally, but I know a little bit about him. He's the president, he's the founder of FOCUS. FOCUS is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. They're located on college campuses throughout the United States with one main goal: to invite students on that campus into a living, real, life-giving relationship with Christ and his church. Over the last 17 years since FOCUS was founded, it's grown from being present on one campus in this country with four missionaries to close to 100 campuses and over 400 missionaries. In fact, many of our young parishioners, our young families here at the cathedral and elsewhere, have been greatly influenced by the good work of FOCUS, whether it was at the University of North Dakota, North Dakota State University, or our very own University of Mary. Okay, enough of that. Now, why do I even talk about him this morning? He tells a really great story that I found really helpful, you might too, in which he proposed a question at a presentation he was giving. And here's the question: is it ethical to buy a term paper online? Is that an okay thing to do? To go online, pay for a term paper that somebody else wrote, print it off, hand it in, put your name on it, say, "Here's my work." Is that an okay thing to do? Now, through a little bit of conversation with the group he was presenting to, he got the assumption that, yeah, I suppose if everybody did that, if everybody bought a term paper and turned it in, that wouldn't be an okay thing to do. But I suppose if the circumstances were right, I could understand how you could justify that. So, for example, let's say you've never cheated on a test before. You've never bought another term paper online, and you're just a couple of weeks away from graduating. You're assigned three term papers due the final week of school. You don't procrastinate, you get on it right away, you start working. You get two of the papers done. And then some unforeseen circumstances, which are out of your hands, come up. And you're not able to do that last paper. So you decide to go and buy a term paper online. All right, that's what he presented. But then he switched the question. not so much as to whether or not it was okay to do that. The question he then proposed, well, why? Why would a person do that? And a young man spoke up, and he said, well, the reason that I would buy a term paper online in those circumstances is really simple. I want to pass the class. To which he responded, well, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with passing a class. That's an admirable thing. But why? Why do you want to pass the class? To which the young man responded, well, because I want to graduate. That's why I want to pass the class, so I can graduate. Well, graduating, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. Education is good. But why do you want to graduate? Well, because having a college degree on your resume is a really important thing. It makes your resume look good. Okay. Well, why do you want your resume to look good? Well, because I want a really good job. All right, there's nothing wrong with a good job. But why do you want a really good job? So I can make lots of money. Okay, there's nothing wrong with money. We all need money to live and have things in life. Why do you want to have lots of money? So I can buy nice things. All right, there's nothing wrong with nice things. Why do you want to buy nice things? So I can be happy. Ah, there we go. So you can be happy. So in the midst of that really annoying litany of why questions, they finally got to the root of what he was going after. That all those other things, from grades to a good resume to a good job to nice things, were all means to another end. And the only end, the only reason he was actually acting in all those ways, beginning with the term paper, was so he could be happy. I think the same is true in our lives. If we went through and examined and asked why questions, we'd finally get to the point where we would say, the reason I do what I do is because I'm searching for happiness. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad thing. Do you know why? Because that's what we were made for. God made us for happiness, and he gave us this desire that goes deeper than any other desire we have for it. We all want it. And God gave that desire to us. So back to Jesus' original question. What are we looking for? I would propose the thing that all of us are looking for is happiness. Or as Jesus would put it, what we're looking for is abundant life. That we want our lives to have meaning. That we want our lives to have purpose. We want to know that our lives matter because they do, because they come from Almighty God himself. That's the purpose of life. God gives us that desire because he wants to fulfill that desire. And guess what? He can. Let me speak personally for a second. Throughout my entire life, I, just like that young man at that conference, I, just like all of you, am looking for happiness. And I haven't found it in some set of vague ethical norms. I haven't found it from warm, fuzzy feelings inside. I haven't found it from somehow looking for myself. I found it in one place. In Christ. In the life-giving relationship that he alone offers. And so this week, a challenge for us. To put a question in our minds. How are we going to answer? How am I going to answer the question that Jesus asks us? What are we looking for? Now that question can't be answered by our spouse, can it? It can't be answered by our parents. It can't even be answered by some punk 28-year-old priest. It can be answered by one person. by us. And so this week, may we beg God for the grace, to beg him for the grace to be able to say, Lord, you alone make me happy. You are the one I am looking for. Because in you I have found life, in you I have found meaning, in you I have found purpose, and nothing else gives me meaning and purpose in life but you. Let's beg God for the grace to be able to say that. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? What are we looking for? He's right here.